It's Talk of Iowa from Iowa Public Radio. I'm Charity Nebbe. It's Horticulture Day today because while everything else is canceled, spring is not. Today, we're going to start off with spring lawn care, and then we're going to answer your questions. And of course, our spring fun drive is one of the many things that has been canceled. But if you have the means and you value this service, we would love to hear from you with your investment at iowapublicradio.org. Today, as a thank you gift, because it is Horticulture Day, everyone who gives will receive the Iowa State University Extension 2020 Home Planting Guide and Calendar. And everybody who gives today will also be entered into a drawing to win a $500 gift card to Earl May Nursery and Garden Center. So please, if you value Iowa Public Radio, make an investment. I'm not going to give you that number yet. I'll just tell you, iowapublicradio.org is our website. Now, let's talk about spring. Nick Christians is here. He is a professor of horticulture at Iowa State University, also a turf grass expert. Hello, Nick.
Hi, how are you doing?
Great. Thank you so much for being here today. And things are turning green out there. Do you feel like we're right on schedule?
It might even be just a little bit early. One thing I have noticed, though, is a big downturn in the number of calls and questions I've been getting. Normally, at this time of year, I'd be getting a lot of emails and that sort of thing, and it seems pretty quiet out there right now.
All right. Well, I think that describes a lot of the planet right now. This time of year, as we do see green creeping across the landscape, what kinds of questions do you normally get? Because isn't it a little too early to tell if things are going wrong?
Yeah, it's still quite early, although it catches up with us really quick. A lot of times people want to kind of jump the gun on it. They want to get out a little bit too early, particularly with the pre-emergence herbicides. They have a defined efficacy period. They'll last for a few weeks, and then they give out. So you don't want to put them down too early if you can help it. Normally about the middle of April, and I'd like to have them out by the 1st of May if possible.
All right. So give us the rundown of exactly what, if a green lawn is important to you, what are the things we should be thinking about and planning for?
Okay. Really, lawns are all about timing. You can do it kind of almost without a lot of effort if you get the timing right. If you get the timing wrong, like everything else, you're kind of fighting yourself. Generally, we'd like to see a light application of fertilizer and a pre-emerge herbicide of some kind for the crabgrass. It's a little early yet, but mid-April to about the first day of May in central Iowa. Now, the timing is going to vary depending on where you're at. The further south, it's probably going to be a little bit earlier when the crabgrass germinates. The further north, it's going to be a little bit later. But right here in central Iowa, it's about May 1 that I like to have the pre-emergence herbicide down by.
All right, and let's talk about our pre-emergence options, because I know that there are several different options depending on the kind of approach you want to take to your yard.
There are many different brands, you'll find if you just go to one of the local garden stores, you'll have a number of options. Dimension is a very good one. Barricade is another one. There's a lot of different ones. Probably go to a store where you've got people that can answer your questions and ask them what you need for the spring and what's the right application. But the easiest way to do it is to get a combination fertilizer, pre-emergence herbicide, and apply that.
Now, what if you want to take an organic approach and use corn gluten meal?
That would be an option. There's a product called corn gluten meal that it's a natural product. You can apply it about the same time, maybe a little bit earlier. It kind of depends on rainfall and that sort of thing. You'll put down about 20 pounds of corn gluten meal per 1,000 square feet at this time of year. It's a good nitrogen source, and it'll help inhibit the crabgrass. It's expensive. It's not quite as effective as the chemicals are. So if you're all right with a chemical, I'd go with a chemical herbicide. If you want a completely organic approach, I would try the corn gluten meal.
I think this year, Nick, we've got an interesting combination of people who are at home and probably itching to find something to do and a reason to spend time outside. So there are going to be people who really want to get busy in the yard. And then at the same time, that doesn't feel like an essential errand to run. And I know that a lot of nursery and garden centers are doing curbside delivery so that you can call ahead and pick something up. You don't have to go in the store. You don't have to put yourself at risk or their employees at risk. But let's say you think, okay, this year I really can't get out to do that. That doesn't feel like a priority. How big a deal is that if you don't do it this year?
If you didn't do anything, of course, the lawn's not going to grow quite as well if you don't have any fertilizer on it. You could very well get some crabgrass that'll break through. If you're all right with that's fine. But it is, like you say, they're doing curbside pickup and that sort of thing. I'm wrestling with this question myself. I'm thinking of going out today and getting some mulch for my yard, and I'm wondering just how I'm going to do that. So I might try that curbside pickup thing or something you mentioned. The products are there. They're available. How you get to them is another question. That's going to vary by location and store. But the timing is coming up about the middle of April.
How do we know when it's time to start mowing?
Well, the grass is growing. So that's you know, you can see it. It won't be long. It's still sitting there now in central Iowa. It's quite cold today. That'll set it back a little bit. But all of a sudden, it'll pop and it'll be growing. You shouldn't remove more than about one-third of the grass in any one mowing. So you don't want to let it get too long. If you're going to be mowing at 2 inches, let it get up to about 3 inches and mow it back. So you'll be able to tell easily by seeing what's going on out there. But it'll sneak up on you quick. It's amazing how it doesn't look like it's going to come out of dormancy, and then all of a sudden you get a warm weekend, and there it is.
Well, and this time of year is particularly tricky, too, with all the moisture. Sometimes you have to make that choice between letting the grass get really long or tearing up your lawn if it's muddy, right?
That can be a problem, particularly if you've got a heavier mower. But it normally we get the right conditions here for that first mowing. So it's going to sneak up on us quick. It's coming.
Any other lawn chores we should be thinking about right now?
Well, that's the main one. Through the year. Now, you know, a good question would be, if I miss my pre-emerge application, is there anything that can be done? And later on, if the crabgrass is up, there are a few post-emergent solutions. There's one called Tenacity, and there's a few others on the shelf. Generally speaking, though, if at all possible, try to get out a pre-emergent herbicide. Get it down before the crabgrass germinates. It will be cheaper. It'll be easier. It'll be easier on the grass. The post-emergent solutions are there, but they're a whole lot trickier to use. So if you can get down a pre-emerge. But if that doesn't happen, you could pick up a little bit later when the crabgrass is coming up. Tenacity now, which is fairly new, is a pretty good solution to crabgrass that's already germinated. So that would be a possibility. Then maybe a little more fertilizer in, let's say, mid-June, not too heavy. You don't want to push it too heavy going through the summer. Then you're kind of done through most of the midsummer, and we pick up again in August with a little bit of fertilizer. And then the broadleaf weeds like dandelion and that sort of thing, those are best controlled in the fall. So we'll come back in late September, early October to hit the broadleaves. So again, it's all about timing.
All right. Well, we already have the phones are lighting up with questions. People are sending in a lot of emails, a lot of lawn questions. But of course, you're welcome to join us with any other questions about the plants in your life. With me, Nick Christians, professor of horticulture at Iowa State University and a turf grass expert. I want to bring Richard Giron into the conversation as well. Iowa State University Extension horticulture specialist. Hello, Richard.
Good morning.
Thank you for being here. And it is nice to see, although it's a gray day today, nice to see spring creeping across the landscape. I know you do a lot of walking. Are you seeing a lot of spring flowers out?
Oh, there are the usual, some daffodils, Siberian squill, crocuses. I saw my first dandelion in bloom yesterday. So I saw that. The forsythias are beginning to bloom in central Iowa. Carnelian cherry dogwoods are blooming in central Iowa. So a few things.
Well, it's been...
But right now we're having freezing rain, so
right,
it's a little bit
right.
different.
Well, it is April in Iowa.
Yes.
We've had a couple really nice days, but we certainly can't take that for granted, can we?
Nope.
All right, let's get to some questions here. This one, pardon me, is from Emma in Iowa City. She says, my backyard is a mat of creeping Charlie with a few sad patches of grass. I think I have to tear it up completely to get rid of creeping Charlie. Is this correct? And how do I do this on a limited budget? I'd ideally like to have a low maintenance lawn, clover cover, minimal cutting that's a pollinator and animal friendly.
Ah, yeah, this is Nick again. Creeping Charlie is a big problem for some people. Over time, it can really take over. It's when it comes to the control of Creeping Charlie, it's got everything to do with timing again. I did some studies a few years ago on this, and I used a number of different herbicides, the standard broadleaf herbicides that you can get in the stores. I started treating them. I put down some spring treatments, which, first of all, I can tell you is not going to work very well. Spring is not the time to hit the Creeping Charlie. You might set it back a little bit, but it'll recover. And then I put out a series of treatments in the fall. I had a plot where I put it down in early September, and then another plot 2 weeks later, and so on, all the way into early December. And when I looked at it at Christmas time, we didn't have snow cover that year yet. It didn't look like I had controlled anything. The Creeping Charlie curled a little bit, but it looked like it was going to come back. In the spring, however, it was clearly the late treatments that were giving me the best results. The later I went, and this was clear into November, late November, when I was putting treatments down, that was the time of year to get the Creeping Charlie. You won't see it in the fall, but you'll see it in the spring when it comes out.
All right, let's take a short break here, and we'll talk about some alternative lawn options in just a moment as well. It's Horticulture Day on Talk of Iowa with me, Nick Christians, and Richard Giron from Iowa State University. This is Talk of Iowa from Iowa Public Radio. It's Talk of Iowa from Iowa Public Radio. I'm Charity Nebbe. It's Horticulture Day today. We've been talking about our lawn chores for this spring with turf grass expert Nick Christians, also professor of horticulture at Iowa State University. Richard Giron is here, Iowa State University Extension Horticulture Specialist, and you are welcome to join the conversation with any questions you have about the plants or trees in your life. You can give us a call, 866-780-9100. You can tweet us at Iowa Public Radio, or you can send email to talkofiowa@iowapublicradio.org. And again, although we're not holding a spring membership drive this year, you can still support your public radio station, and we have a couple of incentives for you to make that contribution today. Everyone who gives today will receive the Iowa State University Extension 2020 Home Planting Guide and Calendar, and everybody who gives today will be entered into a drawing to win a $500 gift card to Earl May Nursery and Garden Center. You can give at iowapublicradio.org, or you can call 800-235-2665. And Nick, let's get back to the question you were answering before. So we heard from Emma. She has a ton of Creeping Charlie. So you were telling her how to get rid of it, and the later treatment in the fall is better. But she also says, I'd ideally like to have a low-maintenance lawn, clover cover, minimal cutting that's pollinator and animal-friendly. Any thoughts on that?
Yes. Well, first of all, one thing we failed to mention earlier is that if you can't get out, and in her case too, you can hire lawn care companies to do it yet. Now, that might change later, but right now they can still come out. So people who don't want to go out and get their own products have that option available to them. Now, in the natural lawn, one more thing on her question. She wanted to know if she had to tear everything up at this point and start over. The answer is probably not. No, it depends on how much grass is really under there. But I've seen some extreme cases of Creeping Charlie with just a few blades of grass sticking out of it, convert it over to a lawn by just simply hitting it at the right time, and that's the fall. So she could do it that way. Now, on the natural lawn side, yes, there are options, like she mentioned, clover, and I've seen people put in things like buffalo grass and so on. It's not as easy as it sounds. A lot of times people do this and they're really not happy with it when they see it. So if your goal is to have a nice green cover, grass is still going to be your best solution. But yes, there are other alternatives, and clover is one of those.
All right. Well, some people might say Creeping Charlie is also a lawn cover.
Actually, that is an option, and it's very aggressive and gives you a nice cover. So.
Yeah, and it's an early pollinator. But Richard, I know your feelings about that. It is very aggressive.
It is very aggressive. I have no tolerance on that at all. Zero tolerance. But as far as if they don't want turf, they could put in a ground cover. There are various ground covers. It sounds like they have quite a bit of shade. And if that's the case, they want to go with a shade-tolerant ground cover. I like hostas. They're very, very easy to grow. There are certain types that tend to be more of a ground cover, like Hosta clossa. That's a species. And that plant actually spreads by stolons. It's not a clump-forming hosta like most of them are. There's also Hosta lancifolia, which is a very vigorous plant. And the nice thing with those is, over time, you can simply dig them up and divide them, and you have these all free plants.
All right. Here's another question. This is from Pete. He says, in May, I'm expecting a new rhubarb crown, cleverly titled Kangaroo, from a seed catalog. And I have a few questions. What can I do beforehand to prepare the hole or site? How deep should I plant the new crown? And how many years before I can start harvesting the plant?
As far as rhubarb, it's a pretty easy to grow plant. The basic requirements are full sun, at least 6 hours of direct sun per day, and a well-drained soil. And what they can do is add some organic matter to the soil, either compost or manure, and work that in really well before you plant. And as far as the plant itself, if it's a dormant bare root plant, you want to plant the crowns 1 to 2 inches below the ground. If it's actually in a pot, basically grow it at the same depth it's growing in the pot. And when you do plant that, then you have to wait 2 full growing seasons before you can harvest.
All right. Let's go to the phones now. Peggy's on the line in Muscatine. Hi, Peggy.
Hi there.
Hi, what's your question?
Well, I have 2 questions. One is, I have kind of a low spot in my yard, and it has kind of a green mold over the top. So I need to know what I should do to clear that up and get grass seed to grow.
It sounds Hello? Like you might have a poor drainage problem there. It's kind of hard to tell without knowing the exact situation. Is this like a small area, like tracks made by a piece of equipment, or is this 4 or 5 feet wide?
Yeah, it's over 4 or 5 feet wide. It's probably like 10 to 20.
Okay. Now, the green material growing over the top, is it in the shade, by the way, or is it in full sun?
It gets shade half of the day and sun the other half.
Okay, so it gets some sun.
Yeah,
you may have a drainage problem. Normally, what I'd say is take the existing sod off, bring in some soil, lift that up, settle it with water because you don't want it settling on you after you put the sod back down. And then either put the sod back down if you've got sod available to you, or seeding, of course, is also a solution. It's very hard to get seed up in the spring. In fact, nothing's going to germinate for a while yet. It would be into May. Sod would be your best solution if you can do that. And then seeding, I would wait to do this till about mid-August if I were going to seed it. Then I would lift it up, settle the new soil with water, and seed into it at that time.
Okay. And I don't need to do anything about the mold or whatever it is growing on top of it?
Well, not directly. Hopefully that will go away when you've got some competition from grass. But if you've got an is it a wet area normally?
It was very wet, but we actually put French tiles under
it. Okay. That was going to be the solution, was to tile it. You've already done that. So you should be all right. If you want to do it the spring, do it with sod. If you want to wait and do it with seed, put it on your calendar for about the middle of August. And then, like I said, bring some soil in, work it up, get it leveled good and settled. And then seed towards the end of August, you should be just fine.
Okay, great. And I do have one other question.
Sure.
I have it's an evergreen tree. I'm not sure what kind. And it came up by itself. And now it's probably, I would say, 10 foot tall. And at the top, it has two branches coming up, which are at least a foot tall each. Mm-hmm. And I need to know if I should just leave them or should I cut one of them off so it has a single branch going up?
Right. It should have a single trunk. So I would go out with my pruning shears and I would look at those two leaders, decide on which is the best, and take off the other one.
Okay. And I don't need to treat anything, just cut it off as close as I can.
Make a nice clean cut.
Okay, great. All right, that's what I needed. Thank you so much.
All right, thanks a lot for your call, Peggy. 866-780-9100 is the number to call. John is on the line next in Knoxville. Hi, John.
Hello.
Hi, what's your question?
Well, last growing season, I noticed a 12-foot diameter circle, almost perfect, where the turf appeared to be dead, except for the very center. It was about a 18-inch diameter circle that looked okay. And next to that, there was another area similar to it. It just wasn't a perfect circle. I haven't been back this year to see if it was killed or if it was just made dormant for a while. I was just wondering what that is that could make such a near perfect circle like that.
Yeah, that was a little confusing. What did you say the diameter of the circle was?
Maybe 12 feet.
Okay, yeah, big. We'll see that in smaller areas, and that's called summer patch, where you get some brown turf, and then it can be green in the middle. That's a fungal disease. I've never seen anything what you're describing being a fungal problem. Sometimes there's things under the soil that you didn't know about. Have you been on this area a long time? Do you know its history?
Well, maybe for the last 15 years, and it's never occurred there before.
Oh, okay. So I'm aware. That's important. I don't have a good explanation for this one. I would have to look at it and do some digging in the area, see if there's anything else I could see. Maybe see if this happens again this season after the growing season starts. Send me an email or give me a call, and I'll have you get some pictures of it. I'm going to need a little more information. This is not. Something that's typical. Richard, do you run into anything like this?
Well, could that be a fairy ring, a large fairy ring?
How big is the dead area? Is it a 12-foot circle with a little green spot in the middle, or is there just a ring around the outside?
It doesn't look like a fairy ring to me, because the dormant or dead grass was pretty much complete, except for the very center. And there was no visible fungal bodies coming up near the edge of it.
Okay.
So it was it made me scratch my head. So.
Yeah, normally I think about what's underground, but if you've been on this area for 15 years, you would have seen that before. So I don't know. So let's see if it comes back and then get a hold of us and maybe even have you send in a sample and see if we can pick up some kind of organism in it. So
we're ruling out aliens at this point?
Yeah, it could be aliens. Sometimes you wonder. I've seen some very strange things that with just no explanation, and this would probably fit into that category.
All right, John, sorry we don't have a better answer for you today, but take a picture, and I hope it doesn't happen again anyway. John in Knoxville. Let's go next to Mary Ann on the line in Ames. Hi, Mary Ann.
Hi, Charity. We have moved. I know I used to be your neighbor, but we now live in a neighborhood that has deer. And we planted a cherry tree and put a 4-foot fence around it because the deer were eating it. But I want to know, how high does that fence have to go to protect the poor tree from the deer? Because, you know, the buds are coming out and the deer are invasive and they walk over and they are eating the tree. Does it have to be 10 feet tall or?
Well, and they can stand on their hind legs.
It wouldn't have to be that tall. I mean, as far as normally they feed on a number of different things. A lot of damage actually occurs in the fall when the bucks rub their antlers on the trunk of the tree, which can be quite
big. This is a small tree, and they're eating the buds.
Okay. Well, as far as a fencing, if you want to put fencing on it, I would say if it's 5 foot tall, that probably should be sufficient.
Okay. I'm looking at what's on sale, and I didn't know how high to buy.
All right, well,
and you have to buy like 50 feet in some of these fences. So, but
well, good luck, Marianne. Yeah,
got so used to having. We had 9 gallons of cherries the last year we lived at our old house, and so we planted a new cherry tree when we moved to the new house. But we didn't have deer in our old neighborhood.
Well, I hope it grows well, and I hope you have lots of cherries again in the future. You can call with your question, 866-780-9100. Next up, let's go to Keith in Mount Vernon. Hi, Keith.
Hello?
Hi.
Hi. I have a boulder retaining wall, and it's been recently put in. I'd like to get some plantings in between the rocks, something colorful.
I would go with sedum. Sedum, you have two different types of sedum. You have the upright types, but then you also have the ground cover types. And the ground cover types do really, really well when you tuck them in those little cracks and crevices. Some have very attractive flowers. They can be either yellow or red, depending on the variety. And some actually have colorful foliage where you have some color there. So I would definitely look at the sedums.
Okay. Would those come as starts or as seeds, or do you seed them?
Yeah, you would basically buy the plants at a garden center. And you're looking for the ground cover types that really hug the ground, but they also do well as a rock garden plant. They're very drought tolerant, very, very easy to grow. All they basically need is a little bit of soil and plenty of sun.
All right, Keith, thank you so much for your call. Here's a question from Steve in Mason City. Is it possible to raise vegetables indoors without pollinators?
Well, the biggest problem growing things indoors is a lack of light, that you just simply don't have sufficient light to grow things like tomatoes or peppers or things like that. They just don't do well. You can grow some herbs indoors, definitely. Things like basil and that type of thing. But as far as fruit-producing plants like tomatoes or peppers or cucumbers or squash, you simply can't do it. But you can grow them definitely in pots. And so if you have a space on a patio or a deck or someplace, you can put them in pots and grow them in pots.
All right. Here's a question from Erica, and I don't know if I'm going to say the name of this plant right. It's a house plant, Haworthia? She says that she has this plant. It keeps sending out long shoots that blossom and then turn into pups, but she can't find any information about how to get the pups to root. She says she cut two off the stalk last time. It sent out a shoot and placed them in soil. They're still green but have no roots, so she's wondering how to propagate them.
I would probably press them kind of very gently into maybe some coarse sand or maybe some perlite. And just keep that material moist, and then hopefully they would root.
All right, so, and maybe wait a little bit longer?
I would give them 6 to 8 weeks.
Okay, could take a while. All right, we are going to take a short break. We'll be back in just a moment. It's Horticulture Day today on Talk of Iowa. With me, Richard Giron, Iowa State University Extension Horticulture Specialist, and Nick Christians, Professor of Horticulture at Iowa State University. You are welcome to join the conversation with your questions, 866-780-9100, or send email to talkofiowa@iowapublicradio.org. I want to mention again that although we are not doing a spring membership drive this year, you can still support your public radio station. And everybody who gives today will receive the Iowa State University Extension 2020 Home Planting Guide and Calendar. And everybody who gives today will be entered into a drawing to win a $500 gift card to Earl May Nursery and Garden Center. You can give on our website, iowapublicradio.org. You can call 800-235-2665. Thank you so much to Brandon in Williamsburg, Rebecca in Iowa City, Jeremy in Iowa City, and Tom in Algona for doing your part today. This is Talk of Iowa. It's Talk of Iowa from Iowa Public Radio. I'm Charity Nebbe. It's Horticulture Day today. We've got a turf grass expert with us today, Nick Christians, Professor of Horticulture at Iowa State University, and Richard Giron, Iowa State University Extension Horticulture Specialist. You are welcome to join the conversation with your questions. 866-780-9100 is the number to call. You can tweet us at Iowa Public Radio. You can also send email to talkofiowa@iowapublicradio.org. Of course, I'll mention again, it's a great day to support your public radio station at iowapublicradio.org. And everybody who gives today receives an ISU Extension 2020 Home Planting Guide and Calendar, and also gets entered into a drawing to win a $500 gift card to Earl May Nursery and Garden Center. So that would certainly get your garden off to a pretty incredible start this year. Maybe something really cool for your landscape as well. You can give at iowapublicradio.org, or you can call that membership number, 800-235-2665. Now let's get back to some of these horticulture questions. This one is from Scott. He says, I live in West Des Moines and I have a yard that's about 3 years old, but I think the sod was laid, or that the sod that was laid has an issue because I have clumps of thick green grass. I tried to dig them out, but it's a big task because I have too much of it. My yard is Kentucky bluegrass and was told it might be orchard grass. It's definitely not crabgrass. What should I do?
This is Nick again. I have a blog on the Extension site, and one of the blogs that I have on there is about grass identification in this type of situation where you've got an unknown grass in your lawn, and it shows a series of close-up pictures. Now, I direct you to that. You can find that by just Googling ISU Turf Extension. And then it'll say blog site on there. It'll be one of the options. And there'll be a bunch of very good close-up pictures. Now, the answer to your question depends entirely on what the grass is. And the description sounds to me a little bit more like creeping bent grass than orchard grass, but I'll need to know the species first. So I would direct you to that site, then contact me independently, send me some pictures of what you've got. We'll see if we can pin it down, and then I'll have a solution for you.
All right. Sounds good. 866-780-9100 is the number to call. Here's another email. This one's from Kelly in Des Moines. Our front yard slopes steeply between the front of the house and some bushes and then the sidewalk. It's been taken over by broadleaf and shallow-rooted weeds and is eroding badly. It gets sun early in the morning and is in the shade most of the day. What grass would you recommend we seed in that space, and what can we do to halt the erosion while we kill the weeds and the grass grows in?
There's a couple different solutions to this. Your best solutions are going to be Kentucky bluegrass or tall fescue, or even a combination of the two, and the timing is going to vary by which species you choose. Generally, the best time to recover something like this is late summer and early fall. So I would probably try first seeding into it, and there's equipment that can slice seed into it, or you can get professionals to do this. Seed into it in mid-August to late August, get the grass coming up, and then once it's matured into the fall, hit it with some broadleaf herbicides and see if you can recover it that way. That would be one good solution. If you're going to go tall fescue, you'd have a little bit better luck in the spring if you were going to spring seed with that. Again, you'd have to let it mature before you put the herbicide on it.
All right. And Richard, in that situation, would you recommend maybe a different ground cover than grass?
Well, it's a possibility. If it gets, let's say, 6 hours of sun at least, daylilies make a very nice ground cover. And there are repeat blooming varieties that bloom off and on for 10 to 12 weeks during the year. And the nice thing with those, again, is that over time you can divide those and you have additional plants. So you could start small and then gradually cover that bank.
All right, let's go back to the phones. We've got Jane on the line in Iowa City. Hi, Jane.
Hi, live in an older neighborhood in Iowa City, and suddenly I'm seeing these clumps that look like grass, but they have a tubular blade, and they have like a bulb bottom, smell like a chive or an onion. First saw a few clumps last year, dug them out. They are all over my garden now. What are they? How do I get rid of them, and how do they propagate?
Richard, you want to take that one, saying how it's a garden problem? If it's a lawn problem, I'd have a little different answer, but Richard,
well,
take that one.
It sounds like it might be either wild onion or wild garlic or something of that type. And as far as getting rid of it, I think it's basically digging it up repeatedly. Try to get rid of it as best you can. If you see additional plants sprout up again, dig those up immediately. And so it's going to take persistence, I think, to do that. In a garden situation, herbicides are not going to be an option. So it's going to have to be basically removal of the actual plants.
Okay. It's very difficult to dig up. I've been working at it doing that. But the other thing is it edible? Can I eat the shoots?
Oh, I don't think I would, not knowing exactly what it is. If I'm not positive on the ID, I would say absolutely no. But
we'll see how long we're all stuck at home, Jane. Maybe the question or the answer changes over time.
But I would suspect probably wild onion or wild garlic, but I would just try to dig it up. And it's usually a good idea after a rain when the ground is kind of moist. It comes up easier.
Right.
But you're going to probably have to be persistent.
What? How does it propagate, though? It's moving. I mean, it was in one area, and now it's all over front yard, backyard, side yard.
Oh, it propagates well.
I'm guessing probably by multiple means, that the initial plant may come up from seed, and then once you have a plant, then it may form daughter bulbs, where they divide and produce more and more bulbs. So they're very efficient at getting around because they basically propagate by two different methods, seeds and the daughter bulbs.
All right. Well, Jane, I know none of those answers were things you wanted to hear. Good luck with that problem. Let's go to Bob in Iowa City. Hi, Bob.
Hi.
Hi, what's your question?
I came late to the program, and I am interested in knowing what the herbicide is that kills only crabgrass.
That depends on whether you're talking about pre-emergently before it comes up or post-emergently after it's already come up. Which of the two options are you thinking of? Pre-emerge, there are a number of different materials, and they're readily available. You can go to any garden store, and they can direct you to the right product. Post-emergent, once it's come up, is a little more tricky. And again, I would go to a store where you've got people that can give you reliable help on it. But there are a few products now. One is Tenacity. There's a couple of other options. We were talking about this a little bit earlier. It is by far the best idea to do it pre-emergently before it comes up. Post-emergently is expensive and difficult to do. And again, you can contact professional lawn care companies, and they will have solutions for you on this problem. But I try to do it pre-emergently before it comes up, if at all possible.
All right, Bob, good luck with that. Let's go next to Terry, also in Iowa City. Hi, Terry.
Good morning.
Hi, what's your question?
My question is, we treated for Creeping Charlie in the fall, and it worked very well. We've got bare spots now that have shown up here in the spring, and I wondered what's the best way to, when to, you know, interseed that, and maybe whether I needed to put down any fertilizer, and kind of the what and when to do that.
What's your existing lawn? Do you know if it's Kentucky bluegrass or bluegrass tall fescue?
I really don't know. I would guess it's a blend.
I would, I'd probably look at, this was Iowa City again?
Yep.
Yeah, but I would
actually, the lawn is more over in the Maquoketa area, so.
Okay, yeah, similar climate, though.
I would
look at using a tall fescue Kentucky bluegrass combination, and you can, again, go to a good store that they have professional products. Go with a Kentucky bluegrass tall fescue. You can spring seed that. So this is something you could probably do in early May, and I'd give that a try first. And if that doesn't work for you, give me a call, and we'll try to find another solution.
Would you put any starter fertilizer or anything down? Or?
Yes, I would put down a starter fertilizer at the time of seeding, something high in phosphorus. And then once it's up about an inch and a half, I'd pick it up with about a half pound of nitrogen per 1,000 square feet.
So more high phosphorus to start with.
High phosphorus to start with, but once it's up, switch over to nitrogen.
Oh, okay.
All right.
And seed maybe, like you said, early May. Okay.
Yeah, but early May would be a good timing on that.
All right. Thanks a lot for your call. Next up, let's go to Irene in Ames. Hi, Irene.
Good morning. How are you?
Good. I hope you're well. What's your question?
Yes, we have to mix up some cyclone energy with all this Hawkeye energy that we've been hearing. First of all, it's a great way to spend a cold Friday listening to you folks. And I have a whole bunch of questions, but I've decided to pare it down to two.
Okay.
Since I'm stranded in-house, I've been wandering around my garden, and I have a couple, the number is growing even as we speak, of 12-inch diameter. It appears to be a dead thatch area in our lawn. And I was listening to your explanation. Is it a fungus? Is it, what's the best way to treat it? Do I treat it by manually taking it out of the lawn to start with?
It depends on what it is. Again, were you on the show when I was talking about the blog, the website where you can get pictures of the different grasses that show up in lawns?
Well, that might be a possibility. I guess my concern is, as I walk along, there seem to be more patches this season than last season.
Go ahead.
I'm concerned, since this is an optimal time to do this, since we have time on our hands, if it's a fungus, well, first of all, I don't know what it is. It's just, it looks like a 12-inch diameter thatch, but when I pull it up, there seems to be green underneath and then this thatch stuff on top.
I'm suspecting you might have Nimblewill, or there's a couple of other options. You're in Ames. I'll tell you what, after the show, get a hold of me directly, and that's something I can stop out and take a look at. There's so many different things
awesome.
That this could be that I want to see it.
Great. And how do I get a hold of you?
You know what? I can put Irene on hold, and our producer can give you Nick's number. Does that sound good?
That's a good idea, yeah.
It would be so good. So all I can say is... go Cyclones, okay?
Thanks a lot for your call, Irene, and stay well. All right, let's get to a couple more questions here. Deborah in West Des Moines. Hi, Deborah.
Hi, how are you?
Good. What's your question?
First of all, I'm in deep sympathy with Jane and her wild onion problem. I have the same problem in one of our beds. So just all you can do is keep digging. Just keep digging. All be
right.
Like Dory and the
right.
Finding Nemo.
It's good to have a message from the other side.
Yes. The question I have is this. In the fall, we had our lawn care guys come and clean leaves out of our beds for us. And in a fit of overzealousness, they also decided to hack down, thinking they were pruning them, I think, all of my hydrangea bushes. And I just was dumbfounded, and now I'm looking at them, and I'm wondering, are they alive? How am I going to be able to tell if they're alive? And when will I reach the point where I need to say, okay, guys, you're going to have to replace these bushes?
I would think they would come back. There are different types of hydrangeas. For example, the smooth hydrangea is one that has these round flower heads that bloom in early summer. And commonly, we actually prune them back to the ground. And they come back in the spring and bloom still by summer. So that's very common for them, and they should be perfectly fine. The other type that we have is typically one that blooms in August and tends to have more of a cone-shaped flower head.
Is that the oak leaf one?
Go ahead.
Would that be like the oak leaf hydrangea? Because I do have one of those.
No, that would be a panicle hydrangea. It's very common. You see it at the state fairgrounds in Des Moines. It's very, very common. Typically blooms in August, and it has this cone-shaped flower head. Now, that one typically we don't prune back to the ground, but if it was pruned back to the ground, it should come back. It's a very, very tough, resilient plant, so it should come back. It probably won't do much this year, but it should come back. Now, the oak leaf hydrangea is much more finicky. That one, if they did that to that, it may not come back.
All right. So she needs to wait and see at this point?
Right. Right. I would expect to see something by mid-May. If I don't see anything as far as sprouts coming out from near the base, then I would suspect maybe it didn't come back. But I think it will. And you might start seeing some growth by maybe late April, early May.
All right. Deborah, thank you so much for your call. And we're nearly out of time, so we'll do a little lightning round here. Jill called from Des Moines and is wondering about acid for blueberries and if coffee grounds are enough.
No. With that, the best way of doing that is when you plant those, dig your hole, dig a really nice large hole, and then take half the soil and then mix that with an equal amount of sphagnum peat moss, which you can buy at our garden center. And that is very, very acidic. And so you backfill with that 50-50 mix of soil and peat moss. Once you have them planted, then I would basically go out every year and sprinkle a little bit of sulfur around the plants, and sulfur tends to lower the pH.
All right. Jill, I hope that answers your question. We are out of time. Richard Giron, thank you so much.
You're welcome.
Richard Giron, Iowa State University Extension Horticulture Specialist. And Nick Christians, thank you.
Yep, you're welcome.
Nick Christians, a professor of horticulture at Iowa State University and, of course, a turf grass expert. We'll be back again next Friday with Horticulture Day on Talk of Iowa. And again, if you appreciate Iowa Public Radio, please consider making a contribution. You can give online at iowapublicradio.org. And everybody who gives today will be entered into a drawing to win a $500 gift card to Earl May Nursery and Garden Center. This is Talk of Iowa.